The Israeli genocidal war on Gaza continues to claim the lives of more Palestinian civilians. A fresh airstrike on a residential building near the city of Rafah has killed at least 10 people. Airstrikes targeted two houses in the Al-Baraj and Nusayrat refugee camps in central Gaza, killing three civilians and injuring several more. Now, in the past day, occupation forces conducted seven massacres, which took the lives of at least 66 Palestinians and injured some 140 others. Since last October, with the start of the onslaught in the besieged territory, some 34,400 Palestinians have lost their lives. Over 77,000 others have been injured. Many of them are women and children. Thousands of victims also remain trapped under rubble as Israeli forces prevent ambulance and civil defense crews from reaching them. Our correspondent Moti Abu Musabeh was with us a while ago from the city of Deir al-Balah with an update on the situation in Gaza.
The Israeli occupation forces continue their air strikes and attacks, whereas the Israeli artillery shelling maintained its shelling against the eastern part of Khan Yunis and Rafah city over the last night. It was horrific as that Israeli shelling was intensified and was tense, actually. While as it's worth mentioning as well as the number of the Palestinian civilians who were unalived over the last attack against the residential building in Rafah city, particularly in Yabna neighborhood in the eastern part of Rafah city, actually has amounted to 10 Palestinian civilians, including four children. Knowing that Rafah is still absorbs roughly 1.5 million Palestinian civilians who are still grappling with these catastrophic humanitarian conditions, and they are very terrified over the rising concerns and the threats of the Israeli occupation forces to conduct their ground offensive against Rafah city. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli warplanes also carried out several airstrikes against Al-Mughraq and Al-Zahra town. At least two airstrikes hit those areas. In addition to that, Al-Zawaida neighborhood was hit also by another airstrike. The humanitarian conditions are still exacerbating, according to Gaza's municipalities, that the current situation is catastrophic in terms of the drinkable water. According to Gaza municipality, that 50% of water wells were completely destroyed by the Israeli occupation forces.
The Palestinian president has warned Israel against any attempt to displace Palestinians from the Gaza Strip or the occupied West Bank.
We will not accept in any case the displacement of Palestinians from Gaza or from the West Bank outside their country. They must stay in their country, but Israel needs someone to force it to stop, to convince Israel that this is unacceptable, and the only country in the world that can do that and which we hold responsible is the United States of America.
Now, Mahmoud Abbas made his comments at the opening session of the World Economic Forum in the Saudi capital. He warned against any future Israeli invasion of Gaza's southern city of Rafah, saying that'll lead to a catastrophic situation. Abbas also emphasized the necessity for an immediate ceasefire and the delivery of humanitarian aid to the blockaded territory. Anti-Israel protests gaining momentum on U.S. campuses as more and more university students are standing in solidarity with Palestinians. Students camped out for the second day on the George Washington University campus despite threats that they could face temporary suspension. Students at Arizona State University also joined the wave of U.S. campus protests against the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. In the state of Illinois, hundreds of protesters marched on the University of Chicago campus. They echoed pro-Palestine chants that have been reverberating through multiple American universities over the past days. Around 100 people were arrested at a university in Boston. Encampments in support of Palestine also continued at New York's Columbia University. The Education Center has been an epicenter of anti-Israel protests since 18th of April. In over a week, hundreds of protesters have been arrested at colleges across the U.S. The protesting students demand university authorities divest from companies involved in the Israeli military. Now, students have been turning out across Iran to express support for the Western pro-Palestine counterparts who have been facing a government crackdown. Demonstrations were held in different Iranian universities, including the Persian Gulf University in Bushehr, as well as Rumia, Lorestan, and Kurdistan universities. The protesters voiced solidarity with the people in Gaza that are enduring the U.S.-Israeli genocide. Students, faculty members, and university staff have been holding rallies and protests on U.S. and European campuses recently to condemn and call for an end to the atrocities committed against Palestinians in Gaza. They've met a violent response by the police and authorities, including arrests and suspensions. Now, in Tehran, we have our correspondent, Saman Kujuri, who is there for us. Saman, where are you? Tell us about the rallies there.
Well, Behruz, I'm talking to you from the main gate, in front of the main gate of Tehran University. A large group of students, professors and staffers of Tehran University have gathered in yet another large group of protest gatherings here in the Iranian capital. Of course, Tehran University and such a gathering is not just taking place here in front of Tehran University by staffers and students and professors of Tehran University, but also such similar protest gatherings are being held in different universities of Tehran and also different cities all across the country. For example, in Amir Kabir University, also we have Imam Sadegh University, also Shiraz University, Tabriz University, other similar protest gatherings by Iranian students, staffers, and professors of universities are being held in order to condemn the violent crackdown of U.S. police against American students who are out or they have camped up at the university's campuses to protest, to voice their anger and protest at the way that the U.S. administration is supporting Israel in this ongoing genocide in the besieged Gaza Strait. In order to get more updated and also to see why these students are gathering here, I'm now joined by one of the Iranian students who is among these protesters. Just want to know her viewpoint regarding why she's here. And tell us why you are here attending such protest gathering in front of Tehran University. And what is the main purpose of your participation in this gathering?
Well, tonight we, the students of universities all over Tehran, University of Tehran, the biggest university in Iran, have gathered here to show how we support other students in universities of America, in European countries, and in Australia, who stood up for Palestine and who want their statesmen to stop the genocide and to stop supporting Israel, but are being brutally treated, attacked, suspended, and they're losing their chance to study in the universities they have tried so much for, and want to show that we have heard them and that we do stand with them, we support them, and that what they're doing is making a difference in the world. Like what they have done in very old years for Vietnam War, or what they have done in other years, or what students in Iran have done in days of revolution, they can make a change, and they can make the government change their acts and stop supporting Israel and save the Palestine by standing up against this brutality, and want to show them that what they're doing must be continued and that we stand with them and that we hear them.
Well, such violent crackdowns by U.S. police against the students and professors come at the time that in a country like the U.S. it claims to defend human rights, or it claims to have freedom of speech or freedom. What is your take on this?
Well, I cannot say that a country has a freedom of speech if you are allowed to talk only about what they like. So if you're free to support Israel, but you're not free to support Palestine, even if you chant that from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, you will be condemned, you will be arrested, and you will be charged. Well, I cannot call that a freedom of speech. This is not democracy. This is just you are allowed to support the genocide, or we do not accept you as a citizen, or we will arrest you. Well, this is how America has treated other countries for years. Every country that wanted to be independent, to wanted to stand against imperialism, they did treat them like this, and now everyone in the world is seeing them. This is not the first time, but I think it has never been this widespread. Now everyone in the world knows that, and I think this is good because everyone can now see how media did show them lies and treated them like fools, but now everyone knows the truth about Palestine and Israel and how America is supporting them.
And one last question is that why the U.S. administration, American officials, together with other their colleagues in the European countries, still continue supporting Israel despite knowing all about international calls, especially by students, to put an end to its financial support to Israel, especially with regard to the genocide in the besieged Gaza?
They cannot accept how their reign is over. They should accept that everyone in the world has the right to leave, and that they should accept that people of Palestine, people of Middle East, and people that are in their own countries has the right to choose how to be governed, how to choose a way of life, and the days of imperialism, the days that they say what everyone else should do, is over. And they cannot accept it because they want the power, they want to rule over everyone in the world, and people will not understand that, and soon they will see how they will crumble and go down.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Behrouz, what you just listened to was a viewpoint by one of Iranian students who was attending such a large protest gathering here in front of the Tehran University. And as groups, protest gatherings are on their way just in the different universities all across Tehran and also different cities all across the country because they want to get united with the calls of students in European countries, American countries, for the U.S. administration to put an end to its financial support for Israel with regard to the genocide in the Gaza Strip. Back to you now, Behrouz.
All right, Salman, thanks for that live coverage. We just heard the message loud and clear. Hopefully, U.S. authorities will also hear that. Thanks for that coverage. Salman Khujri, our correspondent at the main entrance of the Tehran University in downtown Tehran. A flotilla of ships preparing to leave Turkey for Gaza and a challenge to Israel's 17-year blockade of the Palestinian territory. The flotilla aims to deliver humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza. Organizers have expressed their determination to reach Gaza despite Israel's threats. Iran's Al Alam TV network conducted interviews with a couple of the activists boarding the ships.
We are ready to sail and go to Gaza to break the siege. Is the objective is break the siege, the criminal siege, and to bring the humanitarian aid directly to population of Gaza. For me, it's an honor to participate in this action, Freedom Flotilla, that it's organized by society, but with activists, people, normal people, because governments don't act, and we must to act to stop the genocide and to say ceasefire now. You know, in Barcelona, 2 years ago, we suspended relations with Israel to denounce the apartheid, but it's not enough because now we have a genocide in Gaza and we have to act. It's not enough to talk about it. We have to act and to stop this genocide. And for me, as a European citizen, it's a shame, the role of Europe. It's a shame because majority of countries of Europe are silent or directly are complicit with Israel. So people like me, I think the majority of population and the people of Gaza have to know this. The majority of population of Europe, of Spain, millions and millions of people, we don't feel represented by our governments, and we want to act and to detain the genocide right now. It's a possibility that Israel attacks this ship because they did it in the past, but I think that we have to do it, and I hope, and I'm asking to the Spanish government and other governments in the world to protect this flotilla.
At this very moment, we have prepared the entire briefings. Should the Israeli government choose to take the unstrategic step of executing their already criminal threats on the boat, we are prepared, not just as attorneys, but we are coordinating with several governments in the world to have them also file complaints against the Israeli government for their illegal boarding and interception of the flotilla. The age of Israeli impunity has ended. We will reach every single Israeli soldier, heads of state, every single Israeli settler, not just in the international courts, which will take years, but in every court, in every bank, in every IRS place, we will make sure that you pay one way or another. And let me tell them that we are coordinating to the minutia to find each and every one of them for each and every crime, every article they have stolen from a Palestinian house, every drop of blood that has been shed, not just now in Gaza, but since 1948, we are counting it.
That's all for this news broadcast.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 28, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Today is April 28, and we are experiencing spring days here in Iran. Iran Rose Water Festival is held every year in spring, mainly hosted by the cities of Qamsar and Niasar in Kashan, located in Isfahan province. Qamsar rose water is truly reputed in the world, and in terms of quality, it is absolutely unrivaled. Every year in the second half of spring, Qamsar, as I said, located in Kashan in Isfahan province in Iran, hosts domestic and foreign tourists who travel to this city to get acquainted with how to prepare rose water and to be able to prepare them directly from rose water producers and other quality traditional products. In Farsi language, rose water means gulab, and the rituals for obtaining rose water is called gulabgiri. So, in this edition of Listeners Special, I'm going to talk about gulabgiri, or the rituals for obtaining rose water in Qamsar province, located in Kashan in Isfahan province. For the time being, let's see who has sent us reception report or email or letter from around the world. For this edition of Listeners Special, we've received reception reports from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. As you may know, Mizanur Rahman is one of our old and regular listeners. From India, we've received reception report from Anand Mohan, who is one of our old and regular listeners. And from Bangladesh, we've received reception report from Tariq. Anand, Tariq, and Mizanur Rahman, thank you very much for your reception report, and thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we've received an email from Bashir Ahmad from India, who is one of our old and regular listeners. Antonio Santos from Brazil has sent us a piece of email, and again from India, we've received an email from Shivandupol, who is one of our old and regular listeners. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I was saying there is something interesting about Rose Water Festival in Iran. In Qamsar, in such a festival, you experience a bit of history, a dose of nature, and a whole lot of culture. Yes, I said culture, because rose water, or in Farsi as we say, gulab, has been used by Iranians since ancient times as medicine, food, and even perfume. Even in Farsi poetry, the word gulab, literally rose water, is used in different occasions. For example, renowned Iranian poet Maulana says, "Come out here where the roses have opened, let soul and world meet." Well, gulab or rose water is obtained from a particular kind of rose known as Mohammadi rose in Iran. Harvesting flowers seem to be the most important part of the process. So, about this process, we will talk more later during the program, but for the time being, let's see what Sneh says. Bashir Ahmad from India says, greetings to you all. My name is Bashir and I am a listener of the IRIB English Radio. More than 6 months have passed since the crimes of the Zionist regime in Gaza, and the Israeli forces continue their atrocities in Gaza thanks to the support of the leaders of the Western countries and America. We all know that a ceasefire is very important at this juncture for the people of Gaza, but Israel and the U.S. are the ones mainly to blame for hindering and vetoing it at the United Nations. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, to you, Bashir Ahmad from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. It's really good to know that you follow the world developments, especially what is happening in the Gaza Strip, the genocide against Palestinians by the Zionist regime and its accomplices, especially the United States. And as you said, the U.S. and the Zionist regime are hindering the ceasefire. So anyway, we hope that peace prevails in the world, especially in the Gaza Strip and Palestine. And as we know, the liberation of Palestine will soon happen with the collapse of the Zionist regime, with the dissolution of the Zionist regime. And we are sure that that Palestine is from the river to the sea. Yes. And as people chant, Palestine will be free, and Palestine is from the river to the sea. And there is no such a thing as two-state solution. So many thanks for writing to us, Bashir Ahmad from India. We wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you again. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I was talking about the process the gulab or rose water is made. There are modern and traditional ways for obtaining rose water in Iran. In traditional way, people put heavy copper pots on ovens made from bricks, stones, and mud. They put the rose petals, into the pots for boiling, adding water to the pot. During the whole process, the flame should be steady and mild. After being boiled, the extracted water is kept in special bottles. Almost every 30 kilograms of rose petals plus 80 liters of water is poured into each pot that is connected to metal pipes for the steam moving through to obtain the hydrosol. For your information, all Iranian households have a bottle of rose water in their kitchen, as it is the main ingredient to many sweets, foods, and drinks in Iranian cuisine. That's great. So, let's see what Antonio Santos from Brazil says. He says, hello from Brazil. My name is Antonio Santos, and I live in Sao Paulo. I'm sending you a reception report and would like to get a QSL card or electronic QSL from your radio. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Antonio Santos from Brazil, many thanks for writing to us. So, you live in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which is located in Southern Hemisphere, and as far as I know, while we in Iran are experiencing spring, because Iran is located in the Northern Hemisphere, you in Brazil are experiencing autumn days in Brazil because it's located in the Southern Hemisphere, and that's wonderful. I mean, the system of creation, it's great. So please accept our EQSL or electronic QSL from us, IRIB English Radio, as confirmation to this email. write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Antonio Santos from Brazil, thank you very much for writing to us. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Dear listeners, for your information, the Holy Kaaba in Mecca, which is the most sacred place in the Islamic religion, is washed twice a year with the rose water of Qamsar. So, Qamsar is actually a patch of paradise. Seize the day and pack your suitcase to be in Qamsar, because as renowned poet Hafiz says, hold dear all the flowers and commune, came to be and will wither with a breeze or a gale. It was great. So let's see what Shivandapol from India says. Shivandapol has sent us a piece of email and says, greetings from India. I'm Shivandapol and I am from India. I am a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. My hobby is radio listening and collecting stamps, QSL cards, program schedule, etc. Please send QSL cards and other promotional items about Iran. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran to you. Shivandapol from India. Appreciations to you for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast are always welcome. Thank you, Shivandapol from India. We wish you all the best. And here we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports, as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Anand Mohan from India, Tarek from Bangladesh, Shivandapol from India, Bashir Ahmed from India, and Antonio Santos from Brazil. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners a Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. selection of it guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیبه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then begin this sermon the way the Commander of the Faithful used to begin his, by advising us, Usikum ibadallah bittaqwallah, that we advise you, O the servants of God, to be God-conscious, God-fearing, and pious human beings. We had stated that inshallah we will be beginning a new series, and it's about how to combat the desires that we have, how to fight the nafs that we have to ensure that it remains in the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be. And the importance of this, right, is known as jihadun nafs, the combat against the self, is something that has been highlighted in many verses of the Holy Quran, in many traditions. And when we analyze the importance of it, you know, the ability to combat our desires, the ability to hold back our ideas and thoughts that sometimes want to govern us, is what takes a human being from being an insan to an insanul kamil. Yeah, it takes them to that perfection. And this is something that I've been talking about a lot, to be quite honest. You know, sometimes we have to, in life, we are always looking to become better, but we never put in that same amount of thought and effort into our souls. And how do we improve our souls? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as insan with the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And so when we see people who are able to distinguish between right and wrong, may they be people of faith or even without faith, that is an insani thing to do. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought for us and the guidance that He sent for us is what takes us from being this insan to a perfect insan, insan al-kamil. And this is why jihadun nafs, or the talking about the combat against the self, is so important. It elevates us. There are many traditions that talk about this. One in particular that I know we've all heard before, but it's a good reminder from our sixth Imam As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. صلي على محمد وآل محمد. Where he says that أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله بعث سرية فلما رجعوا, that he once dispatched troops for battle, and when they came back, he says مرحبا بقوم قضوا جهاد الأصغر وبقي عليهم جهاد الأكبر. He says congratulations to you, yeah, for that group of people, you are able to do the jihad, the smaller jihad, the smaller sacrifice, the smaller battle. But upon you is still waiting the bigger battle. These people just came back from a military expedition, right? And this is how the Prophet greets them, to say that you have done something small. What awaits you is something bigger. And they asked him, that, what is this bigger jihad? And he says, jihadun nafs, yeah? The ability to fight our desires. You know, why is this the jihad, the greater jihad, the bigger combat, right? Because it's ever going. It never ends. You know, it never ends. From the time and we start to learn things and we learn about our desires and how our desires work and how our desires govern us, and they govern our actions all the time, right? From the time we are children, children learn very quickly. If children cry, they will get something. And so they have learned how to manipulate that. Likewise, we learn that as we grow older, when my stomach rings a bell, I answer it. When my eyes ring a bell, I answer it. When my tongue wants to do something, I eat it, right? Like we're constantly chasing after our desires. And so we have to learn, and this never stops. There's not an age that we reach to where we say, Alhamdulillah, I don't have to fight my soul anymore. No, it will continue. And this is why it is known as the greater sacrifice or the greater struggle. What I want to talk about today in a little bit of detail is understanding the soul of a human being, right? And what we're about to describe, it sounds as though it is like fiction, you know, but it's not. It's a reality, but it's something that we're just not aware of or not paying attention to. Our soul or our existence, let's look at our existence. Our existence is composed of two environments. Yeah? The first environment is the worldly existence that we have, that we see. And this is the realm of the body. Yeah? This is where our physical self remains. And then there is a spiritual existence that's simultaneous to our physical existence. And this is the realm of the soul, where the soul lives. The soul inhabits both the physical realm and the spiritual realm. You're going to have to stay with me today, okay? Two realms of existence, physical realm, spiritual realm. The soul exists in both. That's why we have a soul inside of us. It exists in this physical realm and it exists in the spiritual realm. Its ascension takes place in the spiritual realm. So whatever we see, like we think that, oh, I'm not feeling a difference now. If I had the ability to see what's happening in the spiritual realm, I would see every action having an effect on my soul, right? In both of these existences, right, there are two guards or two hosts who are battling one another for supremacy. There is the divine hosts, and then there are the satanic hosts. Yeah, they exist within us. This is the promise of Iblis, wasn't it? That I will flow through the blood of Bani Adam, except for those who are utterly pure. But everybody else will struggle with this. And so in these realms, there is the satanic hosts and the divine hosts. And they are battling each other to see who will reign supreme, right? And so the divine forces are those forces that drive us towards good actions. They tell us to be honest. They tell us to be kind. They tell us to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. While the satanic forces will tell us, follow your desires. Your heart wants something. Why are you saying no? You live once. And so this is something that constantly takes place, and the battle is constantly brewing. And the battle primarily between these two forces takes place in the worldly realm, right? In this physical realm. And each of them utilize certain weapons, if we call it, right? I'm describing a battle here, yes? They utilize certain weapons at their disposal. And these weapons are what? Our seven functionalities of the body, right? Each of them are fighting for supremacy over our ears, over our eyes, over our tongue, over our stomach, over our private parts, over our arms, and over our legs. They utilize these seven things, each of them telling them something, and each of them telling them something else. This is why we are constantly in this battle. Should I look? Should I not look? Should I click? Should I not click? Should I listen to this? Should I not listen to this? Each of them wants to reign supreme. Each of them are utilizing the same functionalities that we have, that Allah has provided for us in this physical realm. And so they are fighting over this battle. On top of these seven functionalities, there is one that governs them, and that is our imagination or our mind. Yeah? They are also fighting for supremacy over this, the faculty of imagination. You know, we are created with certain faculties. If you go and study the books of Akhlaq, they tell us we are created with the faculty of anger, for example, the faculty of desire, the faculty of intellect. But there is one faculty that can be dominant over all, and that is the faculty of imagination, the faculty of thought. You know, when you sit there, sometimes we have thoughts that jump from tree to tree, as described by our ulama, that, oh, I could do this and I could do that. While I'm here, my thoughts are all the way somewhere else altogether. The faculty of imagination is the one that once it gains a certain direction, if one of these two hosts begins to win, that faculty of imagination will begin to imitate the teachings that that host begins to prescribe for them. And so, for example, if the host of shaitan begins to win, then my imagination and my thoughts will all be satanic. Yeah? It will take me down a path that will be away from Allah, telling me to do things, telling me to chase after things, telling me to want things and desire things and do it. What's the big deal? Because my imagination and my thought process is taking me down that path. But on the other hand, if the divine forces begin to win, then my thoughts begin to be holy. My thoughts begin to be beautiful. My thoughts begin to be wholesome. And that is the path that it will take, the seven functionalities that we talked about. This is all taking place within us every single moment. It's in a way fascinating, right? Because we don't focus on that. We don't realize what's taking place. We just look at our actions and our responses and our effects of these. But internally, there is literally a battle brewing. Yeah, and this is why, as I said, we have thoughts that one day will be like this, one day will be like that. And the more we listen to one particular host over the other, yeah, the more silent the other host will become.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Halimin Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyim وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shiite shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the heads of Iran's three branches of government and a number of current and former government officials. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on April 3, 2024. Throughout the year, we suffer from wounds to our souls and to our lives. Every sin inflicts a wound. Much like physical injuries, they, sins, harm a person's soul, creating a wound, a disease. Ramadan, which is the month of seeking God's forgiveness, is the month for repairing these wounds inflicted during the year. We should be able to emerge from this month with a healthy soul, God willing. If you have not forgiven us in what has passed of this month of Ramadan, then forgive us in what remains of it, since this is the month of seeking God's forgiveness. The concept of istighfar, seeking God's forgiveness, and repentance in the Islamic teachings is a very important matter. It is not specific to just personal issues either. Repentance with regard to a personal sin is one thing, and repentance with regard to a sin in society is another thing.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The Quran states that, "Now turn penitently to your Maker and slay the guilty among your folks." Quran, chapter 2, verse 54. This is with regard to sins in society. So when a sin is committed in society, the members of the society, or those responsible for creating the sin and the repercussions resulting from it, must seek God's forgiveness and repent. This is the far and repentance will naturally lead to restorations, both for the individual and for society as a whole. And in every area, the process of asking for God's forgiveness, turning back from one's mistakes, and repenting is in proportion to that area. Suppose we have made a mistake in a cultural issue, a political issue, or a military move, either out of negligence or sometimes due to laziness, carelessness, or failing to fulfill our responsibilities and obligations. When a wound is inflicted on society in this matter, the right way of istighfar here is to repent, turn back, and make restorations. The Quran states, except for those who repent and make amends. Chapter 2, verse 160. In several places in the Quran, repent is followed by and make amends.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salvation.